This podcast was created for product-based brands in their first 3 years of business who want to ditch the social media grind and learn the secrets to master their marketing so they can go from fumbling around to growing their online store with confidence and a plan. If this sounds like you, stick around. I'm your host, Christy, and this is the Startup Sisterhood Podcast. Let's get into the show. Hello and welcome to the very first episode of the Startup Sisterhood Podcast. Holy moly, it is launch day. And let me just start by saying I truly appreciate you being here and spending your precious time with me today, especially if you're listening to this on launch day. The fact that you have chosen to listen to little old me as you go about your busy day is kind of a big deal. So I can't thank you enough for tuning in. So let's get into this episode of what is a life-first business and why I decided to not scale my e-commerce brand to $1 million. So I wanted to start with this episode because I think it's important to introduce my story and my values. I'm a real raw type of person and I share the nitty-gritty. So I wanted to really open up the show with my story and why I prefer a life-first business and didn't chase growth for growth's sake. So I wanted to start my journey at 16 because my whole situation of where I am now started back then. So I watched the movie What Women Want, and I wanted to do exactly what Mel Gibson did. And if you haven't seen this classic movie, Mel Gibson was in advertising and he had the job of creating TV ads for big brands. At 16, this sounded like my dream job and it actually did plant the seed for my future direction. I did end up in advertising and I love the creative process, but oh boy, the advertising industry was cutthroat. And to put simply, little 23-year-old me couldn't see my 30-something mum life fitting into this culture, so I left. I remember feeling completely lost and thinking, wow, did I just spend 4 years of my life thinking that I wanted this and I absolutely loved it, but I hated the culture and I was just like, I've made a huge mistake. And I think when we're in university or when we're young, straight out of school, you think that this study is going to set you up for 20 to 30 years. And I truly believed that. I truly believed that I had all my ducks aligned. So for me to go into the industry and realize, oh my gosh, what have I done? This is not what I want. I was feeling so lost. So I asked myself, Christy, what makes you happy? Short story, I ran away to the circus. Well, it wasn't actually the circus, but I did briefly go and work with dogs. I am a big dog lover, and that's what I felt made me happy. I wanted to run away and go work with dogs. To my surprise, there was actually a big pet boarding and dog training facility that was only 20 minutes away from my home. So at this point in time, I'm like, the stars are aligning, and I'm going to go apply because at the time, I was traveling 40 minutes into my desk. I was sitting at my desk. I wasn't moving my body, and this seemed like polar opposites to what I was currently doing. And the fact that it was only 20 minutes away from my home, I'm like, I'm going all in. And this was to my dad's absolute disapproval, but I'm a bit of a rebel and I go against the grain. So I didn't listen to my father. And it was here that I felt so happy. I was free. I wasn't chained to my desk for 8 to 10 hours a day. I wasn't traveling 40 minutes to get in to work. I wasn't coming home from work when it was pitch black. I felt free. And it wasn't long until, although I had this freedom and I loved it, my brain was craving more. And an opportunity came up to join the marketing department. And it was here that I fell in love with marketing and where my marketing journey really started. And I was soon directing into the CEO as he expanded the business into multiple states around Australia. And although his business was a national multi-million dollar business, looking back on my time there, what I truly loved was working directly directly with the CEO and running marketing from a business perspective, taking in all of the aspects, not just sitting in the marketing department with blinkers on, running marketing from a campaign level only. So I'm not surprised that I ended up where I did, and it all kind of is linking back into my story of what led me to be where I am today. And I actually stayed with that business for around 9 years, and I absolutely loved it. But as the story goes, with a lot of working women who want to start a family, I no longer had the desire to go back full time after having my first son. So I went back part time. However, due to the part time nature of the marketing role, I was no longer directing into the CEO, and I'm an all or nothing type of person. So I found part time work unfulfilling, and I knew I couldn't do this long term. Once again, I found myself in a bit of a pickle. I didn't know what I was going to do because part-time work surprisingly wasn't fulfilling me, but I also wanted to be a present mum, so I was once again confused on where I was going to take my direction. So this brings me to the start of my e-commerce startup story. I hope you are enjoying this episode. We will jump straight back into it, but first I have a quick favor to ask. Since I am just getting started with this podcast, every little bit of your support goes a long way. I would love if you could spare a minute of your time after you have listened to this episode to hit the subscribe button and share your feedback in the review section. If you could do this, I would be forever grateful. Okay, let's get back into the show. So at the time, my son was 6 months old and I was juggling my part-time marketing role and my new business. And can I just say, if this is you, if this is where you're currently at and you're in the really early stages of starting your business, I take my hat off to you because it is not easy. And if you're a mum on top of that, trying to juggle your 9 to 5, starting your business and being a mum, it is hard work. So if this is you, keep on going, because I was able to leave my marketing role and focus solely on growing the business within around 18 months. Now, I wanted to really preface here and say, I brought years of brand and marketing experience to the table. And if you're not familiar with me, and this might be the first time that you're coming across me, I have always said that the businesses that thrive are the ones that can brand and market their business effectively. It all comes down to being able to do that, because there are so many same products. It's very hard to find a unique product that's never been done previously. And let me just say that that's very risky. It's better to go in a saturated market because we all know that things are selling there. So it just becomes a matter of how can you brand and market your business effectively. So fast forward to 4 years into my business, and I remember saying to myself, what next? I was turning over multiple 6 figures a year, and society tells me that the next big thing to chase is $1 million brand. So at this point in time, I was hell-bent on growth for growth's sake. And looking back, I had attached the numbers and the belief that when I make this much, I will feel successful and my business will be taken seriously and not perceived as a little home-based business that I squeezed in between mum life. And it was a perception of success that had me consumed with my self-worth was attached to what I achieved. And looking back, that was my corporate life, that was my life in marketing, and my whole self-worth was wrapped around what I did, which is not healthy. And society tells you that to be successful, you got to get a big, lovely warehouse. You got to have more staff. And this is what we are fed in social media posts. We see all those big screenshots of Shopify growth hacks and people moving into their warehouse and more and more staff. And that is fantastic if that's what that person wants and that's what's going to allow them to live the life that they want. But in a subconscious way, it's definitely, as a business owner, it's definitely fed into our psyche that this is what success looks like. And for me personally, that's what I felt success was. And this is a very dangerous and toxic mindset to have in business. So not only was I trying to prove something to others who frankly could not care less what I was doing, but when I removed the ego, I actually realized that this is not what I want. When push came to shove and I'm like, hang on, if nobody's watching, which frankly, nobody was watching, but for some reason I thought that I was on this mission to prove to other people that my business was a success because this is what I attached success to. I actually realized in the moment of trying to go, okay, well, Christy, if that's what you want, then take the step, move out of the home, go get the warehouse. And for me, I would have had to have done that to be able to take my business to $1 million. And it was in this time that I actually realized, hang on, I don't think I want this. Because when I checked into myself, I was happy. I was working from home. I was working 3 days a week. I was able to pay the mortgage. I was able to help support my family. I had the flexibility. I had staff packing my orders for me. And I had the freedom. And to me, my business was serving me. And I realized in this moment, what I actually wanted, once I removed that ego, was a life first business. I didn't want to be chained to a warehouse. I loved working from home. I didn't want to manage full-time staff and have the stress of huge expenses. Yeah, I would have made more money, but that all comes at a cost. And that's okay if that's what you want. If you're listening to this going, oh, but hang on, I can make it work. I can still have that multi-million dollar brand or global brand and I can still make it work. And that's still what I want to do. And if that's you, then that is great. If you're clear on that and that's going to give you the lifestyle that you want, fantastic. But for me, I just didn't want to sacrifice that. I didn't want to have to sacrifice another 2 or 3 years to then be able to take a step back. And at the time, I had given birth to my second son. So I was like, I don't want to look back and think, gosh, I built this fantastic business, but I wasn't able to spend time with my kids as much as I would have wanted to, or I didn't feel present. And that wasn't a risk that I was willing to take. So I decided to not scale the business, but instead scale it back. And it was in this period within my journey that family and friends started coming to me asking me how I did it and wanted help with their marketing and how to start their own online stores. So I actually started a marketing consultancy business, which quickly had me booked out with one-on-one clients. But I knew that I wanted to help more women. So I started the Startup Sisterhood in 2021. And this is where I help women with product-based brands through my group coaching program, Ecom Fast Track. And I have also reintroduced one-on-one coaching again because I loved it. So for me, I no longer just chase revenue for growth's sake. And I see this so often with my clients and with my students. They tell me that they want to hit that 200,000 or that 500,000 goal. And I always go back to them and say, why? Why do you want to hit that goal? What is it going to allow you to do from a lifestyle point of view once you hit that goal? And most of the time, they look at me blankly and go, I don't know. So it's important that, yes, we want to grow. If you're not growing, then you're dying. So when it comes to what I'm talking about, I'm not talking about not wanting growth, right? We definitely want growth, but I want you to question the reason why you're attaching that number, whatever it is for you, because it's always going to be different for each person. But I always ask my students and my clients, why do you want to reach that? And what is that goal going to allow you to do? So that checking in with why you're wanting growth is what a life first business is all about. Everything that you do aligns back to the lifestyle that you want to live. And this is why within my group coaching program and with my one-on-one clients, we don't even touch their marketing plan until we have crystal clear goals on their business, lifestyle, and financial goals. Because it's the combination of these three goals that drives your marketing, and it allows you to show up with purpose, knowing that whatever you're doing within your business from a marketing point of view is aligning back to the lifestyle that you want. And this is what it means to have a life first e-commerce business. That's a wrap. Thank you so much for listening. Since I am just getting started with this podcast, it would mean the world to me if you could show your support by hitting the subscribe button. This will ensure that you will be the first to know when each episode drops, and I would love to hear your feedback in the review section. You can also help by spreading the word far and wide on Instagram. Simply take a screenshot of this episode and tag me in your stories using the tag @thestartupsisterhood with your key takeaways. I would love to share them on my account. Let's master your marketing, ditch the social media grind, grow your online store with confidence and a plan, and let's build a life first business together. Thanks again, and I'll see you in the next episode.